Fight Back with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3 102.1.
And this is Bob Fitrakis in the studio with Sue Carter, who's with a new organization called Ohio Fair Food. Sue, what is Ohio Fair Food?
Ohio Fair Food is a new organization that supports the Fair Food campaign begun by an amazing group of Florida farm workers, the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. This coalition and their allies have achieved remarkable success. 9 national and international corporations have signed the CIW Fair Food Agreement that protects farm workers from sub-poverty wages, unbelievably abusive working conditions, and even slavery. This year, for the first time in history, the CIW has changed the lives of over 30,000 farm workers in Florida's fields who benefit from the code of conduct now in place in 90% of Florida's fields. As part of their campaign, the coalition has also found and freed over 1,200 enslaved workers and worked with the Department of Justice and the FBI to prosecute 7 cases of slavery in Florida.
Okay, let's stop right there. You're saying... you're making actual reference to slavery. What do you mean by that? How do we define slavery in the modern world? Wasn't that ended with the Civil War?
Well, yes, there happens to be a constitutional amendment prohibiting slavery, but in Florida, slavery still exists. Not many people see it, although they sometimes find bodies in the canal with a bullet in the back of the head, and the coalition has found examples of situations where workers are locked up, brutalized, deprived of food, water, air, and so forth. It's a very serious situation, and they are helping to solve the problem.
Are these immigrant workers? American citizens? How do they become enslaved?
That's a very good question, Bob. For example, in one case, a group of Haitian workers who were brought over and provided with documents, who were documented workers, were enslaved by fellow Haitians, believe it or not, in one of the most famous cases where the enslavers were prosecuted and convicted and are now in prison. Another case involved homeless people. One of the slavers went around recruiting homeless people and telling them that he had a great job for them. And they came and they were locked up in a van and overnight and beaten when they didn't work fast enough. And so some of these enslaved workers are documented American citizens.
Well, that's pretty shocking. I bet a lot of people have no idea that that's going on in Florida, in the United States, and that their food may be coming from workers who are enslaved. Is that
absolutely
is that right?
And this is where Ohio Fair Food comes in, because first of all, there are bad situations in Ohio, and slaves in agricultural operations haven't been there haven't been prosecutions because the coalition is not in Ohio, and Benito Lucio, who's the ombudsman for migrant workers, told me that it's difficult to find any operations where workers are abused or enslaved because there's no one to report this. Ohio Fair Food comes in because although the coalition has changed things greatly in Florida, the supermarkets haven't signed on to this agreement, and they still buy 60% of the tomatoes sold. So workers are not receiving this extra penny a pound that they get from the agreement from the tomatoes that are picked for the supermarkets. So Ohio Fair Food has joined the Fair Food campaign to call on Kroger, whose headquarters are in Cincinnati and which has over 300 Ohio stores, and Trader Joe's to protect farm workers by signing the CIW agreement.
So are you saying that if people buy their groceries at Kroger or Trader Joe's, that they may be buying produce that is, I guess, farmed by slaves? Is that accurate?
A Department of Justice attorney in Florida has called Florida ground zero for slavery. And he said, if you're eating tomatoes from Florida, you're probably eating tomatoes picked by a slave.
Wow. I bet a lot of people, you know, if they knew that, they would be pretty angry about that, because we have a lot of baggage in our society about our history of slavery. And I think it really, you know, affects people today.
That's very true. But the exciting thing is the coalition has given all of us consumers an opportunity to change this by asking corporations and calling on corporations to take responsibility for these workers, because only the large corporations have the power to do this. And they will do it when consumers ask. And that is how Taco Bell and McDonald's and Whole Foods and many of these nine other corporations who signed the agreement were brought to the table by consumers who said, we want this changed and you can change it.
Why don't you just go to the growers that hire these workers? Why would we have to come into Ohio and go to Kroger's, the corporation?
First of all, the Immokalee workers did go to the growers. And the growers, as they found out, really didn't make much money either, because Kroger squeezes the growers. So when Kroger says you have to change things, they change. But when the growers try to change things, they're too small and they make too little money to pay the workers the extra penny a pound. It's the size of the corporations that makes the difference.
A penny a pound seems fairly minuscule. How many pounds does a worker pick in a day?
Workers who want to earn a minimum wage have to pick 2.5 tons a day.
No.
That is a 32-pound bucket.
2.5 tons?
Yes.
A day?
Over 4,000 pounds. And the buckets weigh 32 pounds. And if you try to pick up a 32-pound bucket, it's really heavy. And don't forget, you have to run to the truck. And in the days before the code of conduct, if the bucket is not overfilled like an ice cream cone, the person in the truck can reject the bucket and put it in the truck, but not pay the worker, not give the worker credit for having picked that. The abuses in the fields,
that's not fair,
have been unbelievable. Sexual harassment is par for the course, was before the Immokalee workers.
So tell us about these Immokalee workers and their activities. What's their history?
The Immokalee workers started as a small group of migrant farm workers, some Mayan, some Haitian, some Latino, don't even speak the same language. They didn't have a place to meet. They built a center. They had weekly meetings. They had programs. They grew like Topsy and gathered allies from faith-based organizations, food justice, student farm worker alliance, human rights groups, everywhere. Today, there are thousands and thousands of members of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers and more thousands of allies who are working from coast to coast, doing demonstrations, calling on people, having presentations, getting donations, sending letters, phone calls. If you go on CIW-online.org, you will read amazing things about the Immokalee workers.
So, these workers come together in Florida. They're working with what kind of groups? Student groups, religious, faith-based organizations. Who joined in with them?
The Interfaith Action organization joined them. The Student Alliance, Student Farm Worker Alliance joined them. All of these people, actually, they have a new center, and all of these groups have an office they work in. They're sort of cheek to jowl with desks everywhere and computers everywhere, because this is the command center for the whole country. And they send out emails all over the country to all their volunteers. In September, there was a Fair Food Summit, which I went to, and it was hilarious. It was fantastic. All of us were getting together and meeting and making plans for the coming year. There will be a march from Florida to Monrovia, California, where Trader Joe's has its headquarters. There will be a demonstration in June in Cincinnati at Kroger headquarters. There are marches and demonstrations all over the country, and it's publicized on the website. Books are written, magazine articles, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Newsweek, Time. Everybody has written about the Immokalee workers because it's such an exciting movement.
And Immokalee is in Florida, roughly where?
Immokalee is 30 minutes from Naples.
Okay. Southern Florida, Gator Alley.
Gator Alley.
They grow tomatoes in Immokalee?
Right out in the middle of South Central Florida, there are over 30,000 workers picking tomatoes and oranges and all kinds of produce, yes. It's a huge agricultural growing center, which produces about 80% of the winter tomatoes sold.
What's going on in Ohio? What's been done here so far?
In Ohio, since we're a new organization, we've just started, but we launched our organization last June in Cincinnati at the Kroger Annual Meeting, where the Cincinnati Worker Center generously helped us put on a demonstration. Last October, Mark Rodriguez, Student Alliance farm worker from Immokalee, and Santiago Perez, a CIW worker from Immokalee, came and gave presentations we hosted at Broad Street Presbyterian Church, OSU, and other locations in Columbus. What we're primarily working on now, though, is building our network, because we need 1 million supporters from Ohio to tell Kroger and Trader Joe's to stop, to sign this agreement, to stop slavery and poverty in Florida's fields by signing the CIW agreement.
Great. So how can our listeners get involved?
The wonderful thing about supporting the Immokalee Coalition is that it's easy. You can send a postcard. You can get online and send the CEO an email asking him to sign the agreement. You can come to a store visit with me, Sue. Call me at 459-0017 or email ohiofairfood@gmail.com. And I will go at your convenience, or we post notices on Facebook and other locations about our weekly store visits. We're also trying to put together demonstrations, and if you're interested in participating, again, I'd love to hear from you.
So is there a website that people can check out?
We don't have a website yet, but Connie Hammond's newsletter notifies people. And if you go to ohiofairfood@gmail.com, I will keep you in touch with everything that's going on.
Great.
So a lot of this seems reminiscent in some ways of the famed grape boycott, but you don't appear to be calling for a boycott, do you?
The Coalition of Immokalee Workers tries to avoid a boycott.
Why?
Well, we like to get the corporations to come to the table with peaceful demonstrations and evidence that a lot of people care. The Taco Bell campaign had a boycott. 27 Taco Bell restaurants were kicked off of college campuses, and that was the first company that signed the agreement. That campaign took 4 years. The next campaign against McDonald's took 2 years. No boycott. So far, the coalition would like to avoid a boycott. It's always, of course, a possibility.
The questions here really go in many ways to where our food comes from and who produces it and how the production's done. Do you see this catching on beyond the Immokalee workers and the tomatoes and other fruits are involved in?
Well, the most exciting thing about, or one of the most exciting things about the Immokalee campaign to me, is that it is a model of change for workers' rights. When consumers know that produce or the products they buy are produced by slave workers or workers who are mistreated, they can ask corporations to take responsibility for that. And I would like to see corporations take responsibility for workers in Ohio, for farm workers in Ohio who are not well treated. Some are and some aren't, but we don't know. And what the Immokalee system does, or the plan does, they have a third-party monitoring system. And if things are not done decently, the workers can call this third-party monitor and report it.
This is Fight Back with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3 102.1.
And we're asking, the key question is, what is the Ohio Fair Food Organization? What is this new organization, and why should we be concerned with the Coalition of Immokalee Workers? And that is, how much is it going to cost me if I pay a penny more a pound?
It probably won't cost you anything.
So, if it doesn't cost me anything, how much is it going to cost Kroger's or Trader Joe's?
Well, actually, it costs so little. Whole Foods said it costs next to nothing, and it's the right thing to do. If I had to pay a penny a pound more for tomatoes, I don't think I'd notice it.
Now, I'm trying to figure this out. If it's so easy to be decent, why must there be a campaign?
Because there is a corporate mode of working. They are not used to being told by anybody else how to run their corporation. Also, profits are important to them, and they consider profits more important than people. So they just don't want to be bothered.
So, the corporations, the boards are responsible to their shareholders, and they're generally just trying to maximize profits. However, there are alternative models where corporations could be accountable to other stakeholders in the community. The communities at large, the workers that work at the stores, and other organizations that they're suppliers. So, it sounds like Ohio Fair Food is letting corporations know that they have these other constituencies besides just their shareholders to think about. Corporations don't exist in a vacuum. They exist in a community, and sometimes their negative impact on that community in many ways. I mean, think about corporations like Walmart that, come into strip malls and destroy the local environment and, contribute to deforestation and dehabitation and then exploit their workers and are so profit-driven that if anybody, is injured, any employee is injured, they'll fight it instead of paying out. So I think that it would be great if we could kind of encourage a change in the corporate model where instead of people... instead of corporations only being accountable to their stockholders and having the only measure of success be profit and money, if we could change that to the corporations being accountable to a variety of stakeholders, such as the workers and the environment and other, other aspects, then I think that would be a great change.
I absolutely agree with you. However, at the same time, I think what we're really saying to consumers is you do have the power. You're really at the top. Who do the corporations really care about pleasing? Their consumers. Look at the ads in your mail. Kroger spends billions of dollars on these beautiful ads that I get every week with pictures of gorgeous tomatoes on them. I need to tell them, and every consumer in Ohio needs to tell Kroger and Trader Joe's, we do not want your tomatoes when they're picked by slaves. We want you to sign the CIW agreement. And consumers really have the ultimate power, whether the corporations are thinking about the good of the community or their own profits. Consumers can control that. Consumers can influence that by asking corporations and calling on corporations to be responsible. But they have to know the truth. If consumers don't know what's happening, they can't ask. So Ohio Fair Food is out there to tell you, consumers, this is what's happening. Ask Kroger. Ask Trader Joe. Coalition of Immokalee Workers has given you a wonderful solution that you can put in place right now just by asking for it.
Yeah, I think that's very true that a lot of times consumers are not really educated about the products they're consuming or, sometimes they would like to be in denial about where their product's coming from. I don't want to know that my shoes or my underwear are sewn by children in sweatshops. You know, maybe. Maybe I do want to know that, actually, because then I can avoid purchasing those products. So I think that's great, you know, the effort at education and empowering the consumer that you're undertaking here.
The Ohio Fair Food Campaign, my understanding is the primary focus is the building of a statewide network of supporters. Are there any major groups that are helping you build this statewide coalition? I know you mentioned student groups for one, and you've mentioned faith-based groups. Which ones have come forward?
Well, the Presbyterian Church, PCUSA, is a founding member of the Alliance for Fair Food and has had a tremendous influence on the Fair Food campaign.
I'm curious, why the Presbyterian Church?
Oh, because we believe in peace and justice.
Next thing you can tell me, Jesus was the Prince of Peace.
It's part of the hunger campaign.
Okay.
It's part of the hunger campaign. Mm. And also, Noel D'Amico, who is in charge of this part of the Presbyterian Hunger Campaign, stayed in Immokalee and went to Immokalee and found out what was happening and I think brought this in. Right now, she has a wonderful campaign in Florida because Publix has been dragging their heels for 3 years. Her new campaign is Faith Moves Mountains. And she is trying to get Publix to open the doors after a 200-mile bike ride to Immokalee from I forget where to Mr. Crenshaw's home in Lakeland. Mr. Crenshaw, the CEO of Publix, refused to come out and greet these riders who had ridden through the rain and made a lot of sacrifices to get to his home. At Trader Joe's, they tore up letters from pastors. 100 pastors had signed these petitions asking Trader Joe's to sign the agreement. They got to Monrovia, California, to the headquarters of Trader Joe's, and Trader Joe's tore them up. The clergy is not accustomed to being treated in this manner.
I'm wondering exactly from a PR standpoint. Mm-hmm. I mean, aren't you supposed to smile and say, we'll consider it, Trader Joe's has a nice kind of upscale, socially liberal reputation, good wine, wholesome food. So I'm really surprised Trader Joe's would respond that way.
Well, in fairness to Trader Joe's in Columbus, thank you, Trader Joe's managers. I have met with both managers of both stores at Trader Joe's, and they are very cordial, welcoming people. It's the top management we need to influence. So send those emails to the CEOs from CIW-online.org.
What if they delete them?
We may never know.
Actually, Kroger has a rule that if a manager receives a letter at the store, he is required to pass it on to the CEO. So get those manager letters into the stores, folks. If you don't know how, call Sue at 459-0017, and I'll go with you.
All right, so Kroger's a policy there to pass those up the chain. I was just in Kroger's yesterday, and a customer complained, and the manager called the cashier and the bagger and said, somebody just complained about you for talking bad about chiropractors. This is instant service.
And might make some chiropractors.
She just walked out of the store. We didn't know she was a chiropractor. Kroger's, in Publix, that's primarily in the South, correct?
Publix is the main supermarket in Florida, and it's a little bit difficult to buy food in Florida at a good price without going to Publix. So it's been quite a hard-fought campaign. The interesting thing is the founder of Publix had a motto, do the right thing. So the name of the campaign for the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, of course, is do the right thing, because the current management refuses to sign the agreement.
Okay. And where's Piggly Wiggly come out on this? I just like to say that name.
Right.
Because it's southern, but I'm not sure it's in... what's the other one in Florida? Winn-Dixie. Have they been targeted at all?
Some other supermarkets have not been targeted because the coalition only has the resources to choose particular targets. So that's why they have ignored some others, not because they wouldn't like to.
Why Trader Joe's? When I think of Trader Joe's, I don't think of large volumes of tomatoes.
Trader Joe's sells many, many tomatoes, and Trader Joe's has an ethic of being honorable and ethical and
Part of their marketing.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Like Whole Foods, but Whole Foods signed the agreement right away.
So with a store like Trader Joe's, they should be held accountable to their image. And if they have an image that promotes, you know, fair trade and, I don't know, kind of like being cool, like and hip with the young kids or whatever, you know, it seems like it would be a good target. You want to hold them accountable. They're, you know, they're not only advertising the cheapest food possible, but good quality food and a good, you know, food ethic has to go along with that.
Yeah.
They also have a customer base that values ethics.
Absolutely.
And is a very moral customer base, and customers care about the food and how it's grown and the workers.
And we don't want to be changing the spelling of their name to Trader Joe.
Yeah.
Which is what they do, of course, on the posters.
Because they're betraying those values you think that you're purchasing when you shop at Trader Joe's. So I know some people, even a few wine snobs, that they'll just have to quit buying their wine at Trader Joe's until it lives up to the value. But you're saying is that you're not asking them to boycott. You're asking them to go in there and talk to the store manager, talk to the employees, write the CEO. Is that what you're asking them to do?
Absolutely. Every time you walk in that store, take a letter. Take a letter to the manager. And if you're not sure what to say, again, call me. I'll go with you.
Yeah, because you're saying that you want people of all ages to get involved and that it's easy to get involved. You're talking about a small action once a month, almost sort of like a routine action that you're doing over and over again. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And if 12 million Ohioans take 5 minutes a month, that's if 1 million Ohioans take 5 minutes a month, that's 12 million communications these stores get, whether it's a postcard or an email or a letter or a note. I write a note to Trader Joe's and Kroger's every month, and I send an email to Trader Joe and Kroger's, and I send a postcard to Trader Joe and Kroger's every month. So that's six communications from one person every month.
I'm thinking
you can do it.
Well, we have the free press, Second Saturday Salon. We should probably be filling some of these out. It happens every month. Get people to send stuff off to the Trader Joe's, because what you're really talking about is the small, repetitive, cumulative action kind of wearing down the mountain. So maybe the faith isn't moving the mountain, it's wearing it down.
Absolutely. The more, the merrier. We have to have a lot of people on board, but each person doesn't have to do too much.
So you can find out about this campaign. I see there's and CIW stands for what?
Coalition of Immokalee Workers.
And their website is ciw-online.org?
Correct.
So you can go there, and also you can be Gmailed at ohiofairfood@gmail.com?
Correct.
Is that you or people in your organization?
That's me, and if you want to participate, I will have your name on my list and keep you updated. And soon, when we have a website, you can go there.
Do you actually have actions where you get to take signs and say, Trader Joe's, free the people?
From our action in last June, we have 15 wonderful signs. We have banners. We have everything ready to go. We just need you people.
Great. Well, thank you so much for telling us how to get involved and write letters to our store managers. And
you can call Sue at 459-0017. That's 459-0017 to get involved with Ohio Fair Food Organization and support the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. Thanks for coming on the show. Yeah,
thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you.
This is Fight Back with Bob Fetrakis and Connie Goodell-Newton on WCRS 98.3 102.1.
Demand fair food in Ohio and the nation.